Hi, I'm Mike Holvey, President and CEO of the RAB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Back in April, we attended the NAB show in Las Vegas. Over a five-day period of time, there were over 61,000 attendees. We discussed so much information with attendees on the floor, in the meeting rooms, up the escalator, down the hallways. There was a lot of information exchanged about sales, recruitment, the new innovations in advertising, innovation, and of course, technology such as AI. RAB's MediaPass CEO Erica Farber and I had the opportunity during the conference to sit down with thought leaders from across the industry, and we talked about their plans for the future, current challenges, as well as what was exciting them about, again, what was coming up. We'd like to thank our friends at Inco and Benstown for allowing us to record live in their exhibit booth during the conference. We did that every day. Plus, we originated live stream interviews for the very first time. In the 12th episode of our series, we hear a conversation that Erica had with Rich Tunkel, the managing director of Nielsen Audio. While this is a new role for Rich at the audience measurement, data, and analytics company, Rich has been a longtime advocate for radio and audio. In this chat, he shares what's ahead and the priorities of the company setting forth for radio, including getting closer to their radio customers and better aligning with the overall strategic goals and needs of the industry.
Well, first of all, Rich, thank you for stopping by Radio on Main Street.
It's exciting to be on Main Street. I've seen it for years, but never been here.
This is here exciting. We are. Well, I don't know. Nielsen's on Main Street every single day.
That is correct.
This has been a year of change for you.
Yeah.
You are a longtime, I won't say longtime Nielsen because you were with Arbitron and Nielsen, but you have been...
Longtime audio.
Longtime advocate for audio. Congratulations on the recent promotion. So what's going on at Nielsen?
Well, what's going on at Nielsen is we are... getting closer to our customers, trying to get closer to them every day, make sure we're aligning our priorities with what's important to them. We've known for years that one of the biggest things that our customers need from Nielsen is to make sure that we're being vocal and presenting the data in a more forward fashion on our website and in our publications. So we're working very closely with our marketing department, closer than we've ever had before, to get the data out to the people that need to see it, and that's the advertisers.
Right.
So you've seen a little bit of that. You're going to see more of that to the benefit of our radio customers, to show the power of radio and the significance of radio. The story with which is actually getting better over time compared to other... media.
Well, let's talk about that, because what do you mean the story is getting better?
Yeah. What I mean by that is it's resilient and it's holding its cume and its reach. But not only that, because you know, we've been talking about, the collective in the industry have been talking about radio's reach for, it feels like, ever. And it's still a very valid story to tell, and it's important.
And there's still a lot of people that don't realize how strong our reach is.
Yep. But what the way it's all actually getting better is as television audiences are declining and fractionalizing, the average audience compared to TV in key demos is getting stronger than ever. So you have to appreciate, because everyone lives in a bubble and they look at, you know, radio's audiences and they think about radio's problems and concerns.
So does that mean the revenue will follow?
Well... with a better public story, that's really the goal, right? I mean, we've got to make sure that we are showing the full-throated support for the industry in a meaningful way, and we can do that by presenting the data more publicly. You know, Nielsen is a third party where we are the referee. At the end of the day, we have to tell the story, and the advertisers are going to do what they're going to do. We can't necessarily advocate
to an advertiser. Well, no, you're the currency, but
yes.
You certainly, and you know, we are certainly not suggesting at any time that we should have an advertiser take all their money out of the video sector. But using your data to prove that by including radio with that video component, it's an incredible story.
It is. It is. And that's what I mean by it's getting better.
Right.
Because radio is contributing more to the media plan than it really ever has before in terms of incrementality. And, you know, CTV is such a hot topic, and people are moving from live to CTV. And we did a study recently where we were able to show that, you know, as you move money into CTV, you actually top out very quickly in terms of what that incrementality does for you.
So you don't need that much.
You don't need that much of it. You know, it's just waste on top of that. And a much more effective way to spend that money is to allocate to radio.
Right.
So bringing those things forward, I think, will be very meaningful for the industry and allows the industry to have conversations. In point two, the independent third-party Nielsen source for what it is. And it's you know, the arbiter of truth. It's the standard bearer for what marketers should be looking towards as, you know, they've got pressures to deliver for their clients. So,
well, you're certainly leading the charge at Nielsen for the audio space.
Yeah.
There is new management, senior management at Nielsen. How are they viewing the audio space when you think of the growth of Nielsen? You know, private equity doesn't rest on laurels. They want to see continued growth. And how are they viewing audio in that space?
Well, they view it as, first of all, an integral part of the media day. You know, it's essential. So it is going to be core to Nielsen. It's going to remain core to Nielsen. In terms of investment in the service, that's, you know, with private equity, with what's happening across legacy media, broadcast media, you know, there's no doubt that we're challenged there to determine how we're going to invest in the media. So we're looking at what ways can we make smart decisions that benefit our clients, and that's where getting close to the clients is really, really important. So we've talked about a couple of things where we can both bring forward meaningful enhancements and innovation in a way that doesn't drive cost for the client, but we have to do so with our clients hand in hand to understand what the impact of that's going to be on the audience estimates. Case in point, we talked about bringing forward a mobile survey. So to our diary markets, forever, people have filled out on a piece of paper and pencil. We all know this in the industry, but people outside the industry might think it's just unbelievable.
Right.
That people still do that and fill that out. And there are many people who prefer that mode of communication because it stands out. And the diary keepers love paper. That's not going away. But we said, what can we do to improve response rates from tough-to-reach groups, particularly 18 to 34-year-olds and younger demos?
And reaching these tougher, there's more and more of these tougher-to-reach groups than there used to be.
There are, you're absolutely right.
People don't have home telephones, as an example.
You're absolutely right.
So
looking at, you know, innovation that we can bring forward to get more people to fill out our surveys, in whether it's paper or electronic, but we also have to move very closely and deliberately with our clients to make sure that we understand the impact of those changes and that it really is a benefit to the broadcaster, that it doesn't negatively impact the audience estimates. That's going to be critically important, and that it really does bring forward incremental participation. Another example of this is, you know, finding out ways to tap into our database of previous diary keepers.
Right.
From time to time, people are surveyed more than once in their lifetime from Nielsen, and that's always been a thing. But we looked at this and said, you know, could we take advantage of this and do it in a more deliberate way and invite people for one more time to fill out a diary? And that doesn't mean, by the way, one more time in the same survey. it means at least a year later in our two book markets, at least 6 months later in our continuously measured markets. So they don't impact the data twice for a survey. They don't impact the multi-book average. But getting them to participate again is an efficient way to do it, to improve response rates from those tough to reach demos as well. And again, to make sure that it doesn't impact the audience estimates negatively, we found that people fill out the diaries a second time at a very similar pattern and level as fresh sample. So it's an efficient way to bring forward improvements in the service that doesn't translate into increased cost to our customers. So private equity has forced us to look at bringing forward innovation quickly, but I'm the guy that has to make sure that it really does result in incremental benefit to our clients and doesn't detract anywhere from what we're providing today.
And it's affordable.
Absolutely. That's right there at the front of the list. Yeah.
You know, another thing I think that is a challenge for you and stations in the diary markets is the timeliness of the data.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you talk about this all the time. Are there any things that you can share with us on the horizon that might make that information more timely for the broadcaster?
So the way to get at quicker results is really to tap into supplemental data sources.
I see.
Our core panel-based measurement, we're moving that forward about as fast as it can. You have to give people time to fill out the diaries in the diary markets and make sure that they have a reasonable cutoff window that's not too short but not too long. And in the PPM markets, give them a chance to return the data from when they were out but forgot to dock the meter or what have you. And so there's a limit to how fast we can move that forward. We have done overnights in PPM markets where we've licensed that data to media monitors, so that's available to broadcasters. But supplemental data would be the way to get at a read of what's going on faster with the radio stations, no matter the market. And that would mean first-party data. First-party data in radio, we have a long history of now, thankfully, at Nielsen, of working with first-party data in video. Comes from set-top box data in the house. And that set-top box data, once you have a television set's data coming back from a household, you pretty much have nearly the totality of what that household's viewing. Radio, because it's portable, it goes everywhere. So it's not as simple. You can get streaming data, and that represents about maybe 12 to 15% of that audience, right, of consumption. In-car data, maybe 45%. So there's no one solution. It's tougher. It's always been tougher in radio, right? It's, I guess, a lot in life that we've picked in this business.
But if it was easy, anyone could do it.
That's right. So we've got to look at partnerships and open up ourselves to working across different data sets in a way that we haven't before. And that would bring perhaps a quicker look at what's going on with listening levels on a more timely basis like you're talking about.
And in the PPM markets, now I'm really going to put you on the spot. If you had to give yourself a grade.
Oh, boy. Well, I just say because that's not fair, but I'm going to give myself a great grade. But, well, in terms of what, though?
Well, you know, there's always the issue of sample size. I mean, it's since the beginning of time, you've heard that. And I know that there are numbers that show even if you doubled it, it's not going to dramatically change the results.
Yep.
So there's a continued education process that goes there. But are they following the directions? Are they actually, as you say, you know, it's more complicated now. You have to make sure that you've docked your, that you're getting the data 24/7, and everyone has different habits. So. Yeah.
So over the past several years, we've been working on transitioning the meter to the wearable.
Right.
So this is a wearable. This is a meter. Today, it's a much different form factor than existed with what people used to call the pager. Right now, 98% of the panel are using this meter. It's been a build over about 2 years.
Because they're just for the record, I know you're wearing it, and it's terrific. I just want to make sure everyone knows that that doesn't mean that your monitoring stations and your data is being used.
Me personally, no. This is a demo. This is a demo. Yep, absolutely.
Full disclosure.
Yeah, no, that would be a problem. But so 98% of the panel currently installed. Some markets are up to 99%.
Wow.
This is better compliance than the other meter. People are finding it easier to use. The carry times are greater. And there's an app that goes along with this that lets us communicate with the phone and get data faster as well. Not everybody installs the app, but upwards about 85% of households have at least one person in the household that have installed the app. So that's improving the compliance in the return. So from that standpoint, you know, and that's been a huge effort. So we're not resting on old technology. We're continuing to innovate, even this, as we go. So the industry can only support economically so what it can support, right? We are leveraging this for TV, and that then creates some economics that we're able to do some things to change the design of the panel as well, to use better recruitment methods. And that's something that we're looking at too for the next 12 to 18 months, is to unify our panel methodology so that radio panels and TV panels are built the same way. Down the road, that can lead us to potentially one panel which has economic efficiencies and, you know, maybe even, dare I say, larger sample sizes down the road.
Right.
It's a few years off for sure, but our first step is to build the panel the same way, and what that will do is give us more control over getting hard to reach demos, geographic and demographic representation. So that's something we're looking at. Again, I want to make sure that no one takes this as, oh, you know, we're running towards that without any data. We're going to work very, very closely, hand in hand with our customers,
right,
to analyze what does that step mean on the resulting data. So there's something else we can look forward to working closely with our clients on to improve the service. It's not standing still by any stretch.
Well, you're a data company, but technology dramatically affects how you produce data. Here we are on the floor at the NAB, and, you know, oh my gosh, this is changing so quickly. The theme this year is about AI. I am sure this is a conversation that you're having daily.
Yep.
How are you as a company approaching AI, and how do you see it affecting what you do?
One way we're looking at AI and starting to actually test it with some of our customer service interactions is to use AI to analyze what are the questions that are coming in from customers in real time, what are the geographic areas, the service nuances that need to be addressed faster, so that we don't have to wait for a human to surface these things, but
right,
to recognize the patterns of these calls that we might get on our customer service line, in our email communication with our customers. It blows my mind. I saw a quick demo of it where I looked at one of our accounts and in real time could see what are the key topics that are surfacing with them, what do we need to be moving on faster. So that will help us respond to customer needs faster than ever. And that's probably not what you were thinking I was going to say.
No, but that's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating use of that technology.
Yeah. So as our customer service team changes and innovates, and we need to take advantage of all of the data touch points we have with our customers to surface those insights faster, AI is giving us the ability to look at that and to make sure that we're operating with the finger on the pulse of what they need.
We just need to make sure we don't have bots.
Well, bots.
Listening.
No, not listening. You know, we put our bots to work. We actually do quite a bit of work with bots in terms of customer delivery.
Right.
Where it took a person to do it before, we're able to use a bot and do it far more efficiently.
Yep.
And we've been doing that for several years. There's a few people on our staff that have been very adept at recognizing and addressing that. So AI is sort of the next iteration of that. It's a natural iteration. Yeah, I know.
It's crazy to me.
Yeah. We're also using AI to build a catalog internally to help answer questions, too. A custom platform at Nielsen that, because there is so much to know at Nielsen, so much legacy knowledge, the nuances of our edit rules, the nuances of, what does it take for a station to be qualified for a TLR, or what is the definition of this market historically? We're putting all of that data into our internal AI to be a resource so that I can not have to call 10 different people.
Right
to get
to
10, yeah, I go right to that answer. So, yeah, AI is going to make us both faster in terms of recognizing the needs of our customers, but also faster in terms of delivering the answers that they need.
Well, and it sounds like it's improving the tools for you to effectively use your time to help move us forward.
Yeah, my time is best spent, sitting down with customers,
right,
talking through our plans and making sure that their needs are being expressed. As we move towards trying to move faster, and I think you're seeing some announcements come from Nielsen maybe faster than you've heard before. But we have to make sure that we're doing it with our customers thoughtfully and making sure that they're on board with us and also able to say, hey, wait a second, Nielsen, maybe a little too quickly over here.
Right.
That's a very helpful dialogue. It's been helpful for me.
Well, just having audio consistently included in the messaging in Nielsen is a big step for us.
Yeah. Yep.
So the more you can help amplify that for our business, it's going to help all of us.
And I think the timing is right for that because our larger customers that may have operated with single message points that might have their own corporate branding on it, I think they're realizing that there's power and the benefit of coming together and presenting it in a unified way.
Yes.
What we did recently in the political space, and actually this was with the RAB as well, as you know, as with CATS, as a national sales organization, we crafted a study together.
Yes.
To look at the importance of radio in real political campaigns from 2022,
right,
and how they contributed to the success of those outcomes. That study has been featured on the Nielsen page. We put out insights articles together. The RAB has amplified that, CATS has amplified that, iHeart, Odyssey, Cumulus have amplified that, and we've continued to find life in that study that debuted in February of this year, where we were invited to present at the National Hispanic Caucus of Senators. So we were presenting to actual legislators.
Right.
We're using that in Nielsen's own lobbying efforts with Capitol Hill, and it's helping open doors. And we've also co-presented with customers at major shops in D.C. that control the budgets. We're getting great response. We're getting a very warm response to that. So I think that's a great blueprint for how we can put together industry-leading insights and put the weight of all of our collective organizations,
yes,
together to move the industry forward.
And, Rich, you were so gracious to join us at our recent spring RAB board meeting, and I think you heard this, that all of the companies, and it's not just the largest ones, medium and small market companies, I think are working closer together now on messaging and recognizing that if we can all be saying the same thing at the same time, not only have that reach, but that frequency, I think we're going to see some excellent results from that work.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point because it's important that everybody understand the studies that we put out.
Yes.
We make it simple for them to use in their local markets.
Right.
And in their conversation with advertisers. And I think the better coordinated we are with the RAB in that regard, then the more that any radio station on Main Street can take that out and use it with advertisers. That political study, by the way, even though it is focused on what was so unique about it, matching voting records with the listening information, and it is expressed based on voters, it's got truisms that work no matter what the target audience is and what the campaign is. So hopefully, if you haven't, I'd say that the listeners or viewers here haven't looked that study up, to please go to the Nielsen website, go to the RAB,
Absolutely.
Find it, and look at it. And if you have questions, ask your Nielsen rep, ask me. I love hearing from customers, so please, you know, feel free to email me at rich.tunkel@nielsen.com, and let's talk about it.
That's a great invitation, and again, I would remind everyone that it is on the RAB website, and you can always reach out to Annette Malavi at the RAB, and she'd be happy to walk you through that, because it's great information, and it's important information.
Yep. Yeah.
So what's next for Nielsen? You know, if we look forward to the future, and anything that, you know, if you were in charge.
Well,
I mean, you are in charge.
Yeah.
But.
So I think what's next for us is more partnerships to bring solutions forward where we can bring the best of what we do, which is a scientific approach to panel-based measurement that's representative and projectable with demographics at the local market level, with other data sets to bring additional capabilities, whether that's attribution, whether that's putting that in context with other audio, so that we can show radio's importance alongside other important and growing areas of audio consumption and audio spend, like podcasting and streaming. So there's so much excitement and enthusiasm around podcasting, appropriately so. But to show that in context with radio, I think can invite some people in to consider radio if they go to Nielsen to find out information about the podcasting space, but then say, oh, wow, you know what? The majority of ad-supported time spent with audio is actually with radio, and I wasn't even considering that. It's a great way to shine a light on the importance of radio. So that's going to be something that we continue to focus on and look for. You know, Nielsen for years has had, if it's not built here, we won't support it. We're not in that space anymore.
That's great.
Very open to new and creative solutions that way. Yeah.
So, Rich, before we let you go, we have a campaign at the RAB where we talk about radio matters. And from your perspective, radio matters because?
Radio matters because it is the place where people can come up for air out of their bubbles of information. You know, podcasting is great, but you're kind of consuming that in a little bit of a bubble. Same thing with streaming, right? Where it's your individual channel, your own music collection. But if you want to come up for air, get connected with what's actually happening in the moment in your community and beyond, that's why radio matters. It is the way to feel connected.
And radio works because?
Radio works because it is in you. When you are consuming radio, it's in your own personal mind, and it's and you personalize it, and so it is so much more impactful. You're not biased by the video imaging that goes along with, you know, video advertising.
Well, Rich, we are so excited about you being in this position because we truly have a positive force there, and I know that you are being a true advocate for our industry, and we thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate the time, and thank you for inviting me here today.
There has been a lot of change at Nielsen over the past year with new ownership and management, but it's heartening to hear in this podcast, as well as subsequent conversations with Rich, how the company is committed to helping radio tell its story in a more public way and how they're stepping up their marketing efforts. Rich is a true radio fan and friend and is committed to more partnerships with the radio industry, bringing the best of what Nielsen does, which is a scientific approach to panel-based measurement and representing with demographics at the local market level with other data sets. Whether it's attribution, putting it into context with other audio, and thus showing radio's importance.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.